But let me remind you that people are created to worship. We're created to worship. The Bible says that God has put eternity in our hearts, and we know, and we worship. The problem is there are times when we worship other things. There are times when we worship football teams. There are times when we worship basketball teams. There are times when we worship food, or we worship gambling, or whatever it might be. There's just things that we bring into the forefront of worship. But know this, church, we were created to worship. But we were created to worship the Lord. That's what God created us for. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to the Hope Restored series, our verse-by-verse study through the book of Nehemiah. Now last time, we saw that after every victory comes the responsibility to remain watchful. Nehemiah reminded us that God's people must guard their hearts after the battle, just as carefully as they did during the battle. But before we begin today's study, I want to make mention that we skipped over the remainder of chapter 7. Now that chapter is primarily a genealogy, a list of those who returned to Jerusalem. While it may seem like just a list of names, it's a reminder that every person matters to God. Every family had a place in rebuilding the city, and every name was remembered because every servant mattered. Today we come to Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, with the message titled, Learning to Pray. The walls have been rebuilt, the gates are hanging in place, the city is secure. But Nehemiah understood something very important. Rebuilding walls doesn't automatically rebuild hearts. Spiritual restoration begins when God's people hunger for His Word and allowed to shape both their hearts and their prayers. Many of us want God to answer our prayers, but first God wants us to hear His voice. Prayer becomes powerful when it becomes a response to Scripture instead of merely a list of requests. So today's question is, when you spend time with God, do you spend more time talking or listening through His Word? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 8 in today's lesson, Learning How to Pray.
So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them, and let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, if you don't know, we're just going verse by verse. Tonight we're just going to tackle the first 8 verses here and in Nehemiah chapter 8. And if you're wondering, if you're kind of going, wait a minute, Ben, we skipped chapter 7, okay? I'm going to give you a bonus sermon right now at no extra charge, okay? Chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, Nehemiah hangs the doors, if you remember. He assigned the gatekeepers. He put Hanani and Hannah in charge of the gates. And then he gives us 68 verses of people who were living in Jerusalem. 68 verses, kind of like a census. And you're like, okay, I got that. So instead of going like each one and this person and this person and this person, the sons of this guy, if you want to do homework, you can just read chapter 7, 1 through 72. You'll get great ideas for names if you want them, you know, like Caesarea or Timnah, and you'll have all these great names. But we're not going to go over them verse by verse. We're going to jump to chapter 8. And you can always go back and look at that. So give me a good amen if you're in chapter 8 of the book of Nehemiah. Amen. So we're excited about what God has for us today, because we're going to be talking about worship tonight and the worship of the Lord and how God instructs us to worship. Guys, we worship Him through music. We worship Him through prayer. We worship Him through fellowship. Everything we have, we worship the Lord. And it's important to know who He is. And so excited for what we have today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So starting off today in chapter 8, we need to be reminded that the book of Nehemiah is not just a book about a wall. Many people who read the Bible will go, oh yeah, Nehemiah, it's about rebuilding the wall. It's much, much more than that. It's so rich, guys, with just some great leadership principles. It's so rich with how to do life with one another and the heart of Nehemiah and how he had compassion. And if you recall, compassion always compels us to do something. It's not enough to go, I'm sorry for you. It always causes us, okay, what can we do? What can we do? And let me say this to you. Even though we have compassion, we often step out and do something and get burned. And that's okay, because compassion compels us to do things because we love Jesus. And we want to see that. And you go, yeah, but I'm tired of people burning us. I went all out and I gave. It's okay, because God sees your heart, and unto him, that's worship. And so we see that the book of Nehemiah is just so full of life and respect and honor. Now we're going to see how Ezra comes back into the picture. If you recall, we studied the book of Ezra, and we'll talk a little bit about him in a minute, but he's coming back into the picture. So let me recap here for just a moment what we talked about. Nehemiah is minding his own business, and he sees some brothers. He sees Hananiah, and he asks him how the walls are going in Jerusalem. Well, he's so distraught that everything is a mess. Ezra had went back, if you recall, and he started to rebuild the temple. The temple to the Jewish people at the time meant a connection with God. It was that place where you and I, when we worship, we feel the connection of God through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's like, yes. And that's what it meant to them. And what I want to do is I'm trying to get this to where they collide, where you and I go, yes, I remember that. Because there are times in our lives when there are some dry times. There are times in our lives when we, God, where are you? God, I don't feel you. I don't feel that connection. And we may have to take a step back and go, hey, where's our temple? Where's the foundation? What happened? And so what happens is God uses Nehemiah. If you recall, he has him come back into Jerusalem and he rallies the troops. And you recall, and it took him 52 days to rebuild the walls. Now, again, your attention, please. The temple, the foundation of the temple that Ezra built was symbolic of a connection with God. This is where you and I get the power of the, we're just connecting. We're just connected with God. Through the power of the Spirit, you just, yes. And when you sing songs like, there's power in your name, you just know, because you've lived it experientially. And now we're moving to the walls, and the walls are symbolic of what? Of safety. They wanted the walls. They had to, because they couldn't worship God the way they wanted to, because they were so afraid they were going to be attacked. The walls were burnt down. The gates, everybody could come in and out. And again, think about this. And what I love is the first 4 months that Nehemiah finds out that there's an issue, what does he do? He goes to the Lord in prayer. In prayer. And you and I, if we're being honest in church, we live in a microwavable instant world. We have food that is instant. Instant. You put it in, done. And we live in such an instant world that when you and I have a problem, we think, okay, well, let's pray. And we pray. And then we go, well, how come God didn't answer? Well, we prayed. Okay, we'll pray a little bit more. Nehemiah prayed for 4 months before he even made a move. And I think that's so important. And so again, think about this, guys. In Nehemiah chapter 1, just by way of reminder, he hears the report from his brothers, Hanani. And it was during the month of Kislev, which is the ninth month. And at that point, Nehemiah starts praying. And in chapter 2, verse 1, Nehemiah stands before King Artaxerxes and asks for permission to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. This was during the first month, the Jewish month of Nisan. So in chapter 6, verse 15, we learn that the wall is completed. And it's completed in the month of Iyul, which is the sixth month. Literally 9 months it took, 52 days to build the wall. Why? Because the people had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. What I believe is the people there were distracted up until when Nehemiah came. Nehemiah goes, hey, why are we so distracted, guys? Come on. This is where we need to be. And he rallied the people, but not so much, let's go. But he rallied the people deep in the hearts and said, remember where you came from. Remember your relationship with God. Remember how sweet that is. And so they had that, man, let's work. Now, what we learned in Nehemiah is that there were some complications. There were some external. You had the Sanballats, the Tobias coming after you. Are you kidding me? All we're trying to do is build the walls, and we got enemies knocking down our door. And if that wasn't enough, you had the internal guys.
well, these guys are at the wall and we're not getting the food and they're charging us more than we're supposed to. And
Nehemiah says, I've had enough. We need to get back to the basics of worshiping God. And in chapter 6, verse 15, it says, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Now, 52 days, that was a work that only God can do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's only a work that God can do in our lives. Where we are and how we walk has to be, we're just dependent on God. And it's a work of God. But I want to remind you, church, it's not about the wall. It's about the word, and it's about worship. In spite of all the devil's efforts to prevent the wall and the gates from being completed, in spite of the devil using outside attacks and inside attacks, the wall is completed, and everybody goes, hallelujah, hooray! And they're excited. And in chapter 7, tells how the people get organized, housed, fed, and they all get involved in this big love offering. And from the least to the greatest to jumpstart their new spiritual life, in their new city with their new wall. Man, they feel good. Why? Number one, the temple, the foundation is laid. Oh, what a beautiful connection with God. Number two, we're worshiping. I don't have to worry about the security. We're safe. We got some watchmen on the wall. It's taken care of. Nobody's going to just come through the gates. And the wall is finished. But what I want you to note, and I want you to write in your Bible, is the real work had just begun. You go, wait a minute, what do you mean? God's real purpose for the wall was just beginning. Again, what we've talked about, why the building of the wall was so important, okay? It was so important than the wall itself. Without the wall being built and the gates hung, the people were afraid to worship. They were afraid to worship. You and I, we came in this building and we lifted up our hands and we sang and we worshiped and we closed our eyes or whatever, and we were not afraid. We have security out in the door. We have security out in the foyer. And so they're like, okay, we can't do this. But let me remind you that people are created to worship. We're created to worship. The Bible says that God has put eternity in our hearts, and we know, and we worship. The problem is there are times when we worship other things. There are times when we worship football teams. There are times when we worship basketball teams. There are times when we worship food, or we worship gambling or whatever it might be. There's just things that we bring into the forefront of worship. But know this, church, we were created to worship, but we were created to worship the Lord. That's what God created us for. The enemy of your soul will always thwart and misdirect the worship of God. He'll always, you'll come and we have to just remember the enemy is always going to thwart. He's always going to misdirect that worship. Oh, no, don't worship the, don't get radical. Don't worship the Lord. Listen, it's okay. You can, and what have we done? We've created denominations to where, oh, no, you don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. Oh, no. And other places like, oh, no, if you're not raising your hands. And so instead of just looking deep, and we got to see. And what I'm reminded when I read this, guys, is that I thank God, his people in Jerusalem did not have a monument mentality. A monument mentality. You go, Ben, what is that? They didn't see the building of the wall as the ultimate goal. Well, we're done. It's there. It's done. We're all good. They didn't see it like that. They understood that what went inside the walls is what really mattered. And what will happen inside was the reason the walls were built in the first place. You go, well, Ben, what was that? Guys, if you're taking note, this was the true worship of God through his word, through his word. Listen, part of what we believe at Calvary Chapel comes from the book of Nehemiah. You go, oh, yeah? If you'll notice on the back of bulletins each Sunday, we have a statement of faith. And it reads this, we believe the worship of God should be spiritual. Therefore, we remain flexible so the Holy Spirit may direct our worship. Our worship. We believe the worship of God should be inspirational. Therefore, we give a great place to music in our worship. We believe the worship of God should be intelligent. Therefore, in our services, we emphasize Bible teaching so that God may instruct how he should be worshiped. And we believe that the worship of God, listen to this, is fruitful. Therefore, we look for his love in our lives as the greatest evidence that we're truly worshiping him. It's fruit. It's fruit. It's been said this of the Christian: you're either moving forward or you're moving backward. There is no neutral for the Christian. And you can see the fruit of our lives. You can see if we've been worshiping. You can see if we've been walking with God. For our lives truly demonstrate the worship of God based upon that. Based upon that. So the worship of the Lord was more important part than of the rebuilding of the wall. Oh, we say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, that the walls are built. We say, amen to God. What a great God we serve. What a mighty God we serve when the gates are hung. But it's much, much more deeper than that. And it's so true when it comes across buildings and churches and places to worship. It's more than going, oh, wow, man, we found this great building and it has all of this stuff. When really, it's what's inside that counts. You see, when you go to the grocery store, and back in the day, and even now, they have paper bags, and they put all your wonderful groceries inside a paper bag. Now, you and I, we don't worship the paper bag. That's not the important part, although it is used to carry the groceries from point A to point B, but at the end of the day, the most important part is the groceries inside the bag. And that's exactly what's happening here. It's not about the wall. It's about the word and the worship inside the wall. I found a quote from a pastor by the name of Jerry Shirley. He describes it like this, and I quote, "Worship in the word went inside the wall. The concept of worship in the word that went inside the wall is central theme to the rebuilding of Jerusalem's wall. The people of Jerusalem," he writes, "led by Nehemiah, gathered to worship, to read the word, leading to a profound spiritual awakening and revival. This event was not about the physical wall, but about the spiritual transformation that occurred within the walls." I like that. "The worship was rooted in a hunger for the word, and the people sought to understand and apply God's teaching. The worship was a response to their past experience of judgment and a desire to restore the relationship with God. The revival was a result of the word's power and the people's commitment to worship and live out their faith," end quote. What's he saying? He's saying, guys, it's important what happens inside the church, what's happening inside the walls, the work that God's doing. And we could say that in our own little church here, it's important what God does on a Wednesday night. It's important what God does in discipleship. It's important what God does on a Sunday morning. It's important. And it's even important what God does inside the walls of our own heart as he begins to transform us. Listen, God didn't save you just to save you. God didn't go, okay, man, you're done, you're saved. He says, now I want to use you. I want to transform you. I want to make you more like me every day. And then I want to encourage you to encourage others and to uplift others and to love others and to be an example to the world of who I am. You realize, guys, that the moon, when we see the moon, is simply reflecting the sun, right? And that's what you and I are called to do. We're called to reflect the S-O-N into a dark world. That's what he's talking about. And so with that as our introduction, let's jump into our text. And as we do, we discover some basic elements. I want you to write elements down because we're going to talk about them that teach us how to worship God. Now, let me give you a disclaimer. Oftentimes we say worship is the time that we spend here with the guitar. It's the first 15 minutes. Well, okay, let's get ready for worship. But worship encompasses so much more. And when we gather to pray on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, that was worship. I love hearing the prayers of people because they're not praying to me. They're praying to a God they believe in, a God that they love. And when we get together on Thursdays and we have a semicircle and we're able to look outside and we're still gathered together, we're praying and we're worshiping. And when we study the Word of God together, guys, that's worship. When you have your devotions in the morning, it's worship. It's worship. And so let's see what God's word says in these first 8 verses about the worship. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, you guys are there. It says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel." Now, let's stop right there because the first worship element we see. You ready? Worship has to be rooted in a hunger for the Word of God. In a hunger for the Word of God. If you're taking notes, we want to hear what God has said. We should have this innate desire to be in His Word, to study. I want to know. I want to know what God's Word says. And Nehemiah tells us, he says, oh, yeah. By the way, look at your Bibles, guys. This happened at the Watergate. The Watergate. The Watergate, if you remember, as they were putting the gates, this was symbolic of the Word of God. So it is only appropriate that they met at the Watergate. The people gathered in great number because they were hungry for the Word of God. They were hungry for it. And I'm afraid in today we have our Bibles, but some of them are dusty and we're not hungry for this anymore. And we used to sing a song, I think it was Paul Baloche, that said, stir up a hunger for the Word. And God, give us a greater desire to be in your Word. The first element for worship, for worshiping God, has to be rooted in a deep hunger for the Word of God. That's worship. It reminded me of a story, a little boy. He brought his father the big family Bible from the coffee table. You know which one I'm talking about, the big, big coffee Bible. And he said, Daddy, what is this? Well, it's the Bible. It's God's book, the dad replied. Then should we give it back to him since we don't use it? The little boy said. And so again, sometimes the Bible can become an ornament and not something that we're hungry for. My question to us, church, tonight is how important is it for us to develop a hunger for the Word of God? A hunger. See, something so spiritual and so miraculous happens that the more we feast on God's Word, the hungrier we get for God's Word. You know, you and I, when we eat food that sustains our body, we can get full. Oh, I had something to eat today. Boy, I'm really full. I can't eat another bite. It actually is opposite in God's Word. The more you have, the more you should be hungry for. And our church, oh, church, we should be constantly reading and hungry for the Word of God. I love the way the psalmist puts it. Jot this down if you're taking note. Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10. Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, says this. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. Listen, verse 10. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. This is the psalmist knew, God's word. It's more desirable, he's saying. It's more desirable than all the money and all the riches in the world. It's more desirable than the sweetest honey, even if it's dripping right from the... He says, that's how it is. And so I've got to be honest with you, church. I have to look at my life right now and go, Lord, do I have that hunger for the word like this? Is my desire... And it's a battle. It's a battle, guys. You go, a battle for what? It's a battle because my phone tends to win over spending time with God in His Word. Oh, like Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, there I go and do it. In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.